As winter settles in with its icy bite, the Office of Personnel Management is just warming up. The agency announced some updates to its dismissal and closure procedures for federal workers in the D.C. area. I sat down with web manager Julia Ziegler to discuss these changes, what's new this year, what feds think of all of these additions.
We in the media wait for this announcement to come out from OPM every year, and they did it a little differently this year. It was in a web chat of sorts, if you will, and they did it online so anyone could watch who wanted to. And it was interesting. It is one change that they announced. People already scheduled for leave will still be charged for leave under the updated policy. So it used to be that they could convert that vacation day to an excused absence, but no longer. And the real reason behind that, the reason they made the change, is because more people are teleworking now. Brenda Roberts with OPM said this when they made the announcement. "We have been telling agencies that they need to be migrating towards allowing people to telework all year so they can actually have the capability of working during a federal closure day. As a result, the federal government is now considered open on a federal closure day." That language, Tom, is actually really interesting because it's something that has changed over the past few years. As you'll remember, we used to say the federal government is closed today when we're announcing it on the air, when we were sending it out in our email alerts, all of those things. No longer. That change was made a few years ago where they changed the language to say federal offices are closed today, meaning that the actual building itself was closed, but the government operations remain open. And that is a difference. And so what Ms. Roberts is getting at here is, with so many people being able to telework, and so many people, it's now fair, right? It used to not be fair if you had let's say I took a vacation day and then all of a sudden the government's closed. Oh, bummer. I now lose my vacation day while everyone else gets a free day off. Well, what they're saying is that's not the case anymore. You know, with 60% of people eligible to telework in the government, at least a little bit, most people may still be working when the government actually when offices are actually closed.
The old timers used to call that a jackpot day, because if you were on vacation, right, or sick leave, suddenly you had those days back in your pool to use again, because it became an excused absence. So, well, yeah, I guess that's really fair anyhow.
Yeah,
if you're in the Caribbean on vacation and it snows in Washington, why should you not be using up your vacation anyway?
Right. Well, so we did get a few comments, as you can imagine, on this story.
Yeah, what do people say about that?
Yeah, one person said, "Some of us have been doing this anyway. If you're on leave during an office closure, you charge time to the paid leave. Same as if you are teleworking and your pod closes. You only take the closure time if the incident closes your pod. Closing your pod also impacts your telework location. Common sense." And someone else said, "How about that? Just like a real company. If you can work, you work. What will the government think of next?"
I love those cynics when they weigh in like
little
that.
Little sarcasm on federalnewsradio.com.
And what's their policy on when you know on those mornings when it's fateful?
So this is also something that OPM has updated over the past few years, and it's staying consistent this year. They are still telling us, they're promising to make decisions by 4 a.m. Now, as we've seen over the past few years, though, they've made decisions the night before. They've made decisions as soon as they believe that they really know what's going to happen that day, right? Obviously, if it's snowing at 10 p.m. and there's no end in sight, it's pretty easy to make the call at 10 p.m. The problem comes, of course, when snow's expected to start falling at 6, but you got to make the call by 4 a.m. and there's nothing coming out of the sky yet. What do you do? Well, what they're saying is their goal is to always make that call by 4 a.m. so that people can plan.
All right. Interesting. And moving on to another topic, I guess we should say that now that there's a budget, it's been in place, people have had a chance a couple of weeks to digest what it is that's in that budget. They passed the bill so we could see what's in it on that $1.1 trillion. Looking at it agency by agency, are we getting comments about that whole process, both the process of the budget itself and what's in there?
We are, Tom. We're getting comments, a lot of comments, on both the budget and the tax extenders bill, which had a very important provision within it that feds are interested in, and that was that mass transit subsidy. So we can get to that in a minute. But as to your question about what people are saying about the overall budget process, we had a lot of frustrated folks who weighed in on federalnewsradio.com. One person said, a friend of mine had to stay late, I'm guessing close to 11, waiting for this. If Congress hadn't passed this continuing resolution, he would have had to spend most of the rest of the evening working with others to publish furlough letters for our whole agency. This delay by Congress just cost us all thousands of hours of overtime across the government for a bill they knew they needed to pass weeks ago. Another person said, good governance doesn't wait until the last second to pass a bill they could have easily passed 3 weeks ago. A simple continuing resolution for 3 days should not have been needed, but they certainly knew much earlier in the week that they had to do it. There's no reason to wait an hour before the government shuts down to pass the bill. And a few other comments. Next time, we should lock them in the building 6 months before the budget is due, and they cannot come out until the budget is slid under the door. And a final person said, or at least restrict them from any campaign activities until their work is done.
Federal News Radio's web manager, Julia Ziegler. It's always so interesting to hear how people think what Congress should do is really easy if only they listen to me or her or him.
Right.
But it must be an impossible situation up there on the Hill. I don't know how they get anything done, really, when you look at the way the place is laid out physically, where all the members are.
Well, not just that, Tom, but I think, our government also was also set up in a way that things weren't supposed to get done quickly. That was part of the founding fathers, goal, in essence, was that things shouldn't be done quickly. You shouldn't be able to just pass a bill like that. You should have to think about it. You should have to work through it. The various houses of Congress need to both approve it. So perhaps the system is working as intended, but just in today's fast-paced world, we don't like it so much.
Well, if you were skeptical, you could say that, well, okay, we had a Congress that just concluded that was one of the least productive Congresses ever. Maybe that's a good thing. I mean, right now there's about 3,000 federal crimes on the books. And so a lot of things you can get arrested for that you probably don't even know about, thousands of crimes. And so maybe one school of thought says, well, if they're not productive, that means they're not creating new things to criminalize and reasons to put us in jail.
Very, very good point, Tom. There you go. I also wanted to say, though, that people are also very little confused, if you will, over what this mass transit subsidy bill is and kind of what they're going to get. And it is confusing. Let's be honest about it. And we here at Federal News Radio actually had a lot of questions when this first came out.
Yeah. Is it a cash subsidy? Is it a tax deduction?
Right. Exactly. So the biggest problem, of course, is that it only goes through the end of 2014. So what folks are saying is, all right, you passed a bill that's only good through the end of the year. It's retroactive to January 1, but what we're hearing is that it's going to be an agency-by-agency decision as to whether feds actually get that extra $120 potential dollars of this transit subsidy for each month. So people had a lot of questions. One person said, I'm confused because it says retroactive, but I highly doubt the government is going to pay out $1,440 to every Fed that would have otherwise been receiving the $250 amount instead of the $130. Another person said a year or two ago, they did the same thing a few months into the fiscal year, and we actually did get the retroactive subsidy. It was applied to my Smart Trip card after I signed a statement identifying what my daily cost was for Metro Rail, not including parking.
So no cash back, but a store credit, so to
speak. Yeah, exactly. And another person said, I remember the whole retroactive thing from a couple years ago, but my agency never made so much as a peep about it after it passed, and certainly didn't add any extra to the Smart Benefits Smart Trip cards. Guess they went with the agency by agency decision and mine was too strapped for cash to do it or something. And then another person said, they did nothing. No way any agency is going to refund employees for the difference for the last 12 months. It accomplishes absolutely nothing.